Hello and welcome to you all. We hope you are somewhere warm and comfortable to listen to this week's edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking newspaper. This edition is number 1815 and is being read on Tuesday the 9th of April 2024 at the Dissenters Hall in Sidmouth. I'm Kimmy Thompson, the editor for this week, with readers Simon Card, June Brown, Diana Crowther and Sue Ball. Now to the news. Part one starts with Simon, bringing you news about Sidmouth. June, with news from Ottery St Mary, followed by Diana and Sue, with news from Seaton and Honiton, respectively. So let's begin with Simon.
Hello, this is Simon with news from Sidmouth. Biodiversity Festival to return in June. 3 days of exploration, education and engagement with the natural world will take place in Sidmouth in June. The Sidmouth Biodiversity Festival will take place over the weekend of Friday the 7th to Sunday the 9th of June. It was held for the first time last year, organised by the Sid Valley Biodiversity Group, called SVBG, with funding from Sidmouth Town Council. Sheila Meads from SVBG said, "We're thrilled to announce that the return of the Sidmouth Biodiversity Festival following the popularity of last year's events. One of the main aims of our group is to help people understand and celebrate the rich diversity of wildlife we enjoy in the Sid Valley. The festival gives us the opportunity to offer entrance over the 3 days where events over 3 days where people can explore and enjoy local nature. Highlights of the festival include Friday, 7th of June, the festival begins with two engaging speakers at Kennaway House, exploring river-related themes, followed by an afternoon of activities by the River Sid in the Byes. In the evening, there will be a bat detection walk by the river, led by local expert Sarah Butcher. Saturday the 8th of June, celebrating World Ocean Day, the festival features biologist turned filmmaker and author Tom Mustill, who will share insights from his acclaimed book, How to Speak Whale. Families can also enjoy a rock pooling adventure at Chit Rocks, discovering the wonders of marine life. On Sunday the 9th of June, the festival concludes with a focus on the Sidmouth Food Forest in Sidford, offering tours and creative sessions for all. Expert guides will also lead two wildlife walks through the town and the Byes, helping you discover more about what is familiar and learn things about nature you may not may be new to you. In addition to these events, there will be a chance to view and discuss proposals for improving the River Sid and its catchment. The River Sid Catchment Group will put its plans on display in the Methodist Church foyer from Thursday, June the 6th until Saturday, June the 8th. A public discussion will take place at Kennaway House in the evening of Friday, the 7th of June. The full festival programme will be launched in early May. In the meantime, updates will be posted on the Sid Valley Biodiversity Group's website. And that's www.sidvalleybiodiversity.org. Anyone interested can also sign up for the SVBG's regular newsletter offering festival updates, biodiversity news, volunteering opportunities and events. Club presents £200 to Lifeboat. Sidmouth Running Club has presented Sidmouth Independent Lifeboat with a £200 cheque. The Running Club's auditor, Janina Pucky, decided to donate £100 to a local good cause. The club offered to match her donation, and they agreed that the lifeboat would be an excellent recipient. The club's head coach, Kyle Baker, is also a member of the lifeboat crew. Tim Clay, the treasurer of Sidmouth Running Club, presented the cheque to senior tractor driver Paul May. Sidmouth Lifeboat is a fully self-funded independent service with a charity status. It relies on donations and fundraising initiatives as well as operating the emergency rescue services, Sidmouth Lifeboat provides a beach lifeguard team who cover the summer half term, the summer holidays and the weekends in between. Letting grass grow for town biodiversity. Grassy areas which will be allowed to grow to help wildlife and nature flourish in Sidmouth will be signposted with paths maintained and created. Plans on how the Sid Valley's green spaces will be managed for the benefit of residents and nature are being shared by East Devon District Council and Sidmouth Town Council in a bid to build public confidence. In recent years, concerns over how the grassy areas are maintained have been raised by some residents. The majority of grassy areas owned or managed by each council will be cut regularly in the growing season and perhaps more frequently if growing continues, conditions demand it. The aim is for people to be able to enjoy activities such as walking and relaxing in those green spaces, especially in and around the town and residential areas, as they are of important amenity and recreational value. Other areas have been identified for nature across the Sid Valley and will be left to grow normally between April and September each year to encourage grass and wildlife flowers to flourish. These areas, known as wildlife improvement areas, will have appropriate signage to inform the public of their designation in advantage of each area, and will have strips grown next to paved or tarmacked areas so that plants on the edge do not interfere with the use of the path or reduced visibility. In some areas, additional paths will be cut to allow access of passageways and allow people to enjoy walking through areas designated for wildlife. Invasive species will also be managed as necessary. This sustainability practice will help enable wildlife to develop, establish vital habitats for insect pollinators and other wildlife, promote sustainable landscapes, and encourage a wide variety of natural native wildflowers. Many wildlife improvement areas will sit alongside more managed amenity spaces. These areas that have been identified for nature, either in part or completely, are Alma Lane Field, Arcot Road Bank, Bowd, Brownlands, Sid Road opposite the Questant Lane, Delderfield Meadow, Knapp Pond, Nature Reserve, Knoll Park Land, and part of it, Limebourne, part of that, Peak Hill, part of that, Salters Meadow, part of that, Stoford Rise, and Bys Meadow and Tyrrell Mead, part of all of those.
Hello, this is June with news from Ottery St Mary. 20 mile an hour zone moves a step closer. A proposed 20 mile an hour speed limit in Ottery St Mary town centre and the surrounding roads has moved a step closer. Devon County Council has opened a public consultation on the proposal, which runs until Wednesday the 24th of April. Local residents are being urged to submit comments in favour of the scheme, which is supported by Ottery Town Council and the County Councillor for the Otter Valley, Jess Bailey. Councillor Bailey said, "Communities across Devon are crying out for 20 mile an hour schemes and Devon County Council's programme is massively oversubscribed. Ottery is one of only a handful of communities across all of Devon that have been selected and has moved to the consultation stage. Full details of the roads where the speed limit would be introduced can be found on Devon County Council's website, along with the online consultation form." The County Council said, "It is proposed to introduce 20 mile an hour speed restrictions on several roads in Ottery St Mary, with the intention that it will lead to a reduced likelihood of collisions and an improvement of local amenities." Flood plans. Newton Poppleford, Hartford and Venn Ottery Parish Council are working to form a robust contingency plan to prevent flooding the village. Devon County Council are reviewing flooding in Borough Lane, Newton Poppleford, and the Environment Agency is looking at the Back Brook and the river as it passes through Webber's Meadow. The Parish Council, in conjunction with Partnership Agency, are continuing to work on a contingency plan to ensure assistance is readily available when needed. A spokesman for the council said, "This is especially important following the disastrous flooding on the 9th of May last year that affected many villages throughout the parish. Flooding is still occurring and work is still very much underway to recognise and deal with future possible occurrences. We now have stocks of emergency flood defence equipment which will ensure that we have supplies in Newton Poppleford, Fen Ottery and Hartford for any future occurrence." Tree planting. Newton Poppleford's Parish Council's Climate Change Committee has been working to plant trees around the village. 35 trees were planted during the early months of 2024, bringing the total of 140 new trees planted over the past couple of years. Organisations and residents donated the trees. They have been planted as memorials to the trees lost by flooding. Three trees were planted as memorials to Councillor Val Ranger, all of which were donated by residents. At the end of January, six Year 6 pupils helped to plant six new cherry trees donated by the RSPB in the school field. A spokesman said, "As usual, all the good work was only achieved by willing volunteers rolling up their sleeves and getting stuck in. So many thanks to everyone who helped with this, with planting, weeding, etc. We'll continue to find ways of improving biodiversity in the parish, so if you're interested in either joining the group or with helping at individual events, you'll be very welcome." Poor parking warning. Ottery St Mary Fire Station has issued a warning to residents to take emergency vehicle access into account when parking. A spokesperson for the station urged community members to consider the potential hindrance caused by their parked vehicles. The Facebook post on April the 1st reads, "On our way back today, we did some local topography and whilst on our travels came across some very tight pinch points. We know parking is limited, but please bear this in mind when parking. Any delay in an emergency can put life at risk." The fire station operates a medium-sized fire engine, which, while able to squeeze through Ottery's narrow streets, can be delayed by poor parking. Ottery St Mary Fire Station officers implore that even small actions, such as having to fold mirrors, can delay their response time. Grant set to cover cost of new shelter. Outdoor education at Ottery St Mary Primary School has been boosted by the provision of a new shelter, thanks to a grant from the Town Council. The school's PTA approached the council for help, meeting the cost of a freestanding shelter in their Year 2 area, so that a large outside courtyard could be used in poor weather. Parents and staff thought this would be a cost-effective way to make more outdoor activities possible for the Year 2 pupils, including the special education needs learners. This would help the children develop a range of skills, including communication, interaction, and independence. The cost of the shelter was £4,000, and the Parent Teachers Association asked Ottery Town Council for half of that amount, which the council was happy to contribute. Head teacher Mark Gilran said, "We owe a debt of gratitude to Ottery Town Council for providing a grant of £2,000 towards the project and making the application process clear and simple to follow. For some children, a practical approach to learning is hugely beneficial, especially following the pandemic, where so many missed out on practical opportunities to form relationships in their formative years. The school has always and will continue to work hard on this and with all of the children, giving them the ability to provide further outdoor-based opportunities for all of our youngest learners to cover their first 3 years in school will be absolutely priceless to us."
Hello, this is Diana with news from Seaton. Owners criticised after trying to save beach huts. Beach hut owners have been condemned for putting themselves at risk during a raging storm in an attempt to salvage their beach huts. coastguards were called to Seaton Beach on Thursday the 28th of May, following reports that people were on the beach as waves battered the huts. Photos of the huts shared by Beer Coast Guard rescue team showed the extent of the damage. One hut appeared to have been completely flattened, and another was upturned, and others were shunted off their bases with the doors broken following the high winds and heavy rain. The rescue team posted on its Facebook page, "Seaton Beach this morning after last night's high tide and storms. The Beer and Lyme Coast Guards were tasked to attend last night as some people were putting themselves at risk of injury or by trying to get their beach huts as seas were breaking over them."
Hello, this is Sue reading the news from Honiton. New public loos are on the way for Honiton's Lace Walk car park. The current toilet block has 5 female and 2 male cubicles, 2 urinals and a cubicle for people with disabilities. The new block will have red brick-faced walls, painted metal doors in a suitable heritage colour, a flat roof with solar panels. It will have 5 unisex and 2 disabled toilets opening onto the pavement, as well as a bike rack seating and a water bottle refill point. Users will have to pay 40 pence to spend a penny with a contactless payment card or phone. Councillor Yehudi Levine, Liberal Democrat from Dunkerswell and Otterhead, welcomed the rebuild. He said, "I walk past this building once a week at least, and it's horrible. We want to attract visitors to the area, and in order to do that, you've got to give them something that they will expect, modern facilities. I think that this is a need for our tourist industry as well as our local residents." But Councillor Alastair Bruce, Independent Fenerton, is not impressed with the design. He said, "Those new facilities look absolutely appalling compared to the existing building. I think most people would agree the existing building matches far better with the current fabric of the area. If that was anything other than a public toilet and we were talking about a building for dwelling or whatever, we would all be looking at it in horror." The new Lacewalk lavatories come part of a wider East Devon District Council scheme to refurbish or rebuild 15 Category A public conveniences across the district at an estimated cost of £5 million. Another 12 B and C public toilets EDDC cannot afford to run have been offered for commercial operators to repurpose them into cafes, takeaways, or community hubs, although the public must still be able to get to a loo there, and also to town and parish councils to run in place of EDDC.
And now for news of what's on around East Devon over the week. Wednesday, April the 10th. The Sidmouth Poetry Readers, Kennaway House at Coburg Road. That's from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And the theme of Jonathan Swift and Alexander Pope. If you're a visitor to this, it's going to cost you £2. Also on April the 10th, you've got the Healthy Hearts Exercise Class at St. Teresa's Hall, Connaught Road, Sidmouth. That's starting at 10:30. And prior to that, Fit for Life is at 9:30. Improve your fitness, strength, flexibility and balance in these classes for 50 plus. That's age. Contact Tina 01395 512912 or 07733 293289 for more details. Also on April the 10th, you have coffee and chat at Sidmouth Methodist Church Hall at 10:30 till 12. Hot drinks, biscuits and good company, and all is welcome. The Oasis Drop-In Cafe at the Lee Brown Rooms at the Dissenter Hall at Sidmouth are also offering a warm welcome, positive conversations and a cuppa. Rise Up and Sing, the Papalist Choir, will be rehearsing All Welcome at the Sidmouth Methodist Church at 1:30 until 3. And finally, on April the 10th, you have Sidford WI Monthly. And they're meeting at Sidford Social Hall at 7:15. And it's a birthday party, a night of mirth and magic, Jude Coram competition, and it's Make a Wand. Next, we have Thursday, April the 11th. And we have at Kennaway House an antiques valuation. And this is between 2 and 4 p.m. By Burns, Hampton and Littlewood. No fee or obligation appraisal. Weekly inquiries, please contact 01392 413100. On April the 11th also, you have Sidvale Folk Choir, and this is held at the Dance Studio, the Unitarian Old Dissenting Meeting Hall, and that starts at 7:30 and goes on till 9 o'clock. On April the 12th, Friday, April the 12th, you have Shark and Wildlife Adventure Talk. This is at Kennaway House at 7 o'clock, and it's a talk by Mark Taylor Hutchinson. Tickets are £15 and it includes a glass of wine. Contact number 01395515551. And on April the 13th, at Sidmouth, you have the highly regarded Chamber Choir St. David's Singers, and they will make a welcome return to Sidmouth. The programme of spring songs, sacred and secular, will demonstrate the choir's versatility and provide a programme with items to please a wide range of musical tastes. This is held at Sidmouth Methodist Church, and will host, Sidmouth Methodist Church will host the concert with free entry and retiring donations in aid of the church fund to redevelop open spaces around its town centre site. And the last one for your diary is the 19th of April. It's Jazz Jurassic Jazz Supper, an evening with Tom Seals. Tom Seals, one of the UK's finest boogie-woogie pianists, launches the first supper club of 2024 at the Gateway Theatre Company, 4 Street, Seaton. The email address is programsseatongateway@gmail.com, or contact them on 01297625699. It starts at 6:15. And the tickets are £39. Part 2 of the news begins with Simon taking us to Axminster, June with news from Beer and Branscombe, Diana brings news from Sidmouth, and Sue will be visiting East Devon.
Simon here with the Axminster profile. Axminster, the town that provides carpets to Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle, is hosting big names these days and has plenty to offer. As the gateway to the stunning East Devon area of outstanding natural beauty, Axminster is surrounded by picturesque countryside, rolling hills and beautiful coastline. However, it is a town that many people might not know exists. Inevitably, there are those who would like to keep things that way. But after a chat with local residents, and a look at some of the events that they have been putting on and that are coming up in the Axminster Guildhall, it is fair to say that Axminster is not a town that is shying away from keeping itself and its visitors entertained. The town has a rich history and close-knit community and is renowned for its traditional craft of Axminster carpets, which have been produced since the 18th century and can be still seen in historic buildings and homes. It also has a welcoming and friendly atmosphere with a range of amenities, restaurants and cafes. A recent addition is the excellent What's in Axminster website. The website is www.whatsinaxminster.co.uk, a community project that aims to capture Axminster's spirit and charm for the benefit of its locals and those who want to visit. This year's acts include John Lydon, Gail Porter, Sean Ryder and Alid Jones. Talking to Lee Connolly, the new manager at the Axminster Guildhall, it's hard not to feel the sense of enthusiasm he has for his job involved with the Axminster Drama Group. Lee always found it sad that the doors to the Guildhall were often closed. When the opportunity came to apply for the job as manager, his first request was he wanted the doors to always be open. Always might be a bit of a rough, tough call, but the current programme of events, along with the community initiatives, classes and gatherings, has brought a new lease of life to the hall, and to the town and surrounding areas. In this issue, we feature an interview with a legendary punk rocker, John Lydon, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten, who's coming to talk at the Guildhall in May. At 68 years old, Johnny has a wealth of interesting stories, and close up, he seems to be much more than the character presented by the media in the late 70s. Attracting big names to the Guildhall was always part of the plan for Lee. He cites the first as comedian Omid Jahali, followed by status quo's Francis Rossi. This year, acts include Johnny Lydon, Gail Porter, Sean Ryder, and Alid Jones, as well as a wealth of tribute acts, wrestling, talks, drag shows, and even a beer festival in October. The town has a real sense of community and a willingness to support local businesses. As customers treat us as friends, it's just that sort of town. Lee put together his 5-year plan for the Guildhall when he started at the end of 2021, has managed to complete that plan in 2 years. When I started, he says, we had about 2 to 3 acts a year, plus the Amdram shows. This year we have about 60 to 70. Plans are also afoot for a cinema and the adaptation of a room upstairs for smaller theatre projects. Formerly in retail and more recently working locally as a teaching assistant, Lee says that the success of the Guildhall to date must give credit to the volunteers who worked alongside him. He also speaks highly of Axminster itself, describing it as a really great town. He highlights how everyone that works in the town and volunteers around the town just want it to be as great as it can be. Lee's comments echo those of Jenny Francis, who recently wrote to highlight some of the many exciting things going on in the town. Light Up Axminster, for example, she says, was initially created to fund the town's Christmas lights. She describes it as another incredible initiative that has gone on to offer numerous town events, including the 8-day festival, the Cherry Fair, as well as the countless health and well-being initiatives. All of us give thanks to the community of Axminster and the strength that it's formed when the town comes together. Jenny quotes Simon Holmes, owner of Archway Books, who said, "We love running a business in Axminster. While the town faces the same economic challenges as most of the other towns of its size, it's a good place for us over the last 4 years. During that time, we've invested in moving to a prime location, and it's certainly paying off in terms of growth." Another comment from a local business person, which Jenny felt summed up the town as perfectly as it was: the town has a real sense of community and a willingness to support local businesses. Our customers treat us as friends. It's just like that sort of town. The overriding impression that Jenny received when talking to locals about the town was summed up in one simple sentence: "We all simply love living here." To keep in touch with the Axminster and what's going on, visit www.axminster.co.uk. whatsinaxminster.co.uk.
And now here's the news from Beer and Branscombe. Pirates theme for a new play park. Arr! Beer children can now embark on pirate adventures at a new pirate-themed play park on Beer Seafront. Compan finished works to completely replace the old park at Jubilee, which was no longer fit for purpose after just 5 weeks. The design includes a large playship with multiple activities, themed surfacing graphics of a beach, the sea and marine wildlife, and a variety of play panels. It all comes as part of a £400,000 district-wide revamp by East Devon District Council. East Devon District Council will be using the money to replace a host of play areas across the district, including at Lime Kiln Budley, with an expected completion date of the 5th of April, and the contractor Somerset Landscapes, Ashfield Close, Exmouth, expected completion date the week of the 29th of April, with the contractor of Somerset Landscapes, Gerard Close, Honiton, with an expected completion date of the 12th of April, and the contractor Play UK, and Palegate Close, Honiton, expected completion date early May, contractor Somerset Landscapes. All these dates, of course, are weather permitting. The parks have all been designed in consultation with the local town and parish councils, acting as community representatives to outline what they think residents would like. Councillor Jeff Young's East Devon District Council's portfolio holder for Coast, Country and Environment said, "At Beer, there is a great pirate-themed area with a slide and ship climbing frame, although it wasn't possible to include a swing due to the restricted space and safety concerns. We selected the designs that provide the most play value and that reduce environmental impact through recycled materials. We are confident that local children and visitors alike will love the new facilities." Arr.
Here is some more news from Sidmouth. Dinosaur footprint discovered on the beach. A stunning photo of a dinosaur's footprint was discovered on Sidmouth Beach in February, and it is being used to send a powerful environmental message to children. Fossil hunter Dr. Rob Coram spotted and photographed the print, which was made 240 million years ago by a Rutishian, a reptile that looked like a cross between a crocodile and a dinosaur. The picture is being used to promote the environmental message of a children's book by the local author Joe Erlem, which is being given away to local libraries and coastal litter picking groups. The book, Rose's Footprint, was inspired by the discovery of a similar print in Sidmouth 12 years ago. It aims to raise awareness of climate change and marine pollution, encouraging readers to think about their own footprint on the planet. Jo is planning to start her book giveaway on World Earth Day, Monday, April the 22nd. She'll be at Sidmouth Library at 4 p.m. to read out Rose's Footprint and present copies of the book for distribution around East Devon libraries. On Sunday the 28th of April, she'll be giving out books at a litter pick in Exmouth organised by Plastic Free Exmouth. Further donations to East Devon and Dorset environmental groups will be organised on the understanding that books are not sold but must be given out as gifts, rewards or competition prizes. Jo told the Herald, "My inspiration in writing the book has never been about making money from the book sales, which I haven't, or selling large numbers. It is wanting to encourage primarily children in this local area where the story is set, help them to understand the geological significance of where they live, and the idea of looking after the world, especially by not dropping rubbish." She has thanked Dr. Coram for allowing her to use his photo of the dinosaur footprint on the book plate for Rose's Footprint, explaining the book's message and the reason for the free gifting of copies. More information can be found at www.thinkfootprint.org. Dr. Coram says the print is probably no longer visible, but others may emerge. These footprints can be seen both sides of Sidmouth, sometimes in reasonable numbers, but it does rely on sea conditions scraping away the shingle to expose the bedrock, which doesn't always happen. Also, there are normally much more vague and incomplete prints, which are harder to make out. Occasionally, like this one, the footprints filled with sand, which hardened and made them very much more resistant, meaning they were better preserved millions of years later. I have collected a small number of footprints so they can be preserved in museums, including those at Exeter and Sidmouth. But in general, I prefer to leave them on the beach so other people can enjoy them. I expect this one will have been washed away by now, but hopefully the sea will expose more, so it's well worth keeping an eye open for them. Hear the story of long-serving vicar. The colourful life and times of the Reverend Henry Fellows, the longest-serving vicar of Sidbury, will be a subject of a talk at the All Saints Church Hall on Wednesday, April the 10th. The illustrated talk is being hosted by the Sid Vale Association, and the speaker will be Neil Thompson. Henry Fellows came to Sidbury with his young family in 1813 after serving as chaplain to the Prince Regent, George IV. On arrival, he insisted that the existing vicarage was fit only for demolition and he had a new one built. Little could have imagined that he would have been vicar here for over 50 years, dying in 1864 at the age of 89. He had a number of trials and tribulations, including the Annus Horribilis on 1850, when his vicarage went up in flames, taking with it the parish records, which were being held there for safekeeping. He oversaw considerable restoration of the church, including replacement of the troublesome spire with a new pepper pot. The Reverend Fellows was seen as a colourful and much-loved character, a man of integrity and goodness, and hundreds of mourners attended his funeral. The talk will start at 2:30 p.m. Tickets will be available on the door for £5, £2.50 for SVA members, and this will include tea and biscuits. The double meaning of beauty spot. The latest piece of artwork has gone up on Sidmouth wall space with the theme of beauty spots. The image brings together two meanings of the words, the traditional multi-view postcards of local scenery and the cosmetic beauty spots that were once penciled onto women's faces. Sidmouth Beauty Spots by David Bellingham features old black and white photos of local views scattered with round black dots like the one used as a cosmetic. The artist's creative concept also draws on language, the meaning of words and the shapes relating to the image. Beauty Spot Laon, a place of outstanding beauty, a small dark mark or spot worn on a woman's face as an adornment. Spot, noun, a particular place or small round mark. Postcard, noun, a piece of thick paper or thin card, typically rectangular, intended for writing and posting without an envelope. Full stop, noun, used at the end of a sentence or an abbreviation. It's used to suggest that there is nothing more to say on a topic. As David Bellingham said, as far as we know, no one ever made a Beauty Spots of Sidmouth postcard, so we have made one to correct this historical hiccup. The new billboard coincides with a project also being held by David Bellingham in which local residents will create a one-day museum. Three free workshops will be held at Kenaway House on Tuesday, April the 9th, Wednesday the 10th and Thursday the 11th. Participants will be invited to bring along five items from their homes or tool sheds that could be creatively reclassified and exhibited as they are rather than as they were. The one-day museum will be open at Kenaway House on Saturday, April the 13th. Louise Cole from Sidmouth School of Art said, "We're delighted to be working with David and invite the community to get involved. His work is well known, his practice is often conceptual and humorous, enabling us to see everyday things in a new light. It's a great opportunity for Sidmouth to make new artworks and experience a range of creative opportunities, supporting our vision to make Sidmouth the artwork and affirming Sidmouth on the cultural map." Free workshop places can be booked via the Sidmouth School of Art website, www.sidmouthart.org.
Hello, this is Sue again, and with East Devon News. A reserve gets a 190,000k boost. The Pebblebed Heaths National Nature Reserve has been awarded more than £190,000 from the National Lottery Heritage Fund to make nature accessible to all. The Pebblebeds for All project aims to provide resources over 3 years to connect people to the special qualities of the reserve, which covers more than 1,100 hectares, that's 2,800 acres, of heathland to the east of Exeter. It was recently extended to include the Otter Estuary. The project has been supported with more than £150,000 from the East Devon Pebblebed Heaths Conservation Trust. The money will fund a new community engagement ranger who will help provide new opportunities for anyone to take positive actions for nature on the internationally important conservation area, and a countryside ranger apprenticeship for someone keen to begin their conservation career. The project will also establish a youth ranger scheme. Kim Strawbridge, Pebblebed Heaths Reserves Manager, said, "This funding is a vital boost, giving us resources we need to work with our partners to make our activities more inclusive." Child poverty. 1 in 7 children in East Devon were living in poverty last year, new figures show. Children's charity Bernardo said, "Youngsters can't be happy and healthy if they are going home to a cold home and an empty stomach." Figures from the Department for Work and Pensions show that 3,661 East Devon children aged under 16 were living in relative poverty in the year to March 2023. It meant 15.2% of children in the area were in a family whose income was below 60% of the average household income before housing costs. They also claim child's benefit and at least one other household benefit. This was roughly in line with 15.6% of the year before and lower than the UK rate of 20.1%. Of all the children facing poverty in East Devon, 980 were below school age. Pandemic debt relief goes on. The number of people in East Devon accessing a debt relief scheme open to provide financial support during the coronavirus pandemic has risen by a third last year, new figures show. Across England and Wales, there was a 25% jump in the number of people registering for breathing space from debt last year. Debt relief charity Step Change said, "The rise is encouraging, with the scheme successfully delivering good outcomes for people facing financial difficulty. A standard breathing space application is available to people with problem debt and gives legal protections from creditor action for up to 60 days. They can be entered into once a year. People can also apply for a mental health breathing space, which lasts the duration of their mental health treatment plus 30 days. Figures from the insolvency services show 151 people in East Devon registered for a standard or mental health breathing space in 2023, up from 112 the year before. Crowded schools. Several special schools in Devon were over capacity last academic year, new figures show. Data from the Department for Education shows nearly two-thirds of special schools were full or overcrowded across England, with a union warning a lack of funding is letting down children. The figure shows 7 of the 13 special schools in Devon were over capacity in the 2022-23 school year. Across England, 63% of the 1,077 special schools had at least met capacity, with around 4,000 more pupils than places. The Department for Education said this may be a result of the way capacity has been measured, which does not take account of the type of need. Rob Williams, Senior Policy Advisor at School Leaders Union, NAHT, said, "The figures represent a complete mismatch between the needs of these children and the funding available to schools and local authorities." Affordable homes in the region. Housing affordability in East Devon remained unchanged over the last year, new figures show. Figures from the Office for National Statistics show full-time employees in East Devon could expect to spend 10 times of their annual earnings on purchasing homes in 2023, in line with before. The Institute for Public Policy Research said the high housing crisis is not only damaging lives, but also holding the economy back, and called for an increased investment in genuinely affordable homes. Last year in England, a house cost 8.3 times the average wage, while the ratio stood at 6.1 in Wales, both slightly down from 8.5 and 6.4 respectively. While this was the second consecutive fall since 2021, these are still higher than before the pandemic in 2019. When buyers spent 7.9 and 5.8 times their annual earnings. Maya Singer-Hobbs, Senior Research Fellow at the IPPR, said, "The housing affordability crisis is damaging lives and holding back the economy. Its root cause is the failure to build enough homes across the country over several decades, including the failure to build enough genuinely affordable homes."
So that's all the news we have for this edition. My thanks go to our readers, Simon Card, June Brown, Diana Crowther and Sue Ball, our registrars, June Diffie and Jackie Freeman, and also our producer, Sam Clark. Thanks also to Archant Publications for use of their copy from their publications. We would be grateful if you could return your wallet promptly. And should you have any problems with the equipment, please contact Peter Eagles on 07552 766 382. We suggest you open your curtains any time after 6:30 in the morning and close them from around 8 in the evening. Just to remind anyone who wishes to access our recordings via Alexa, you need to say, "Alexa, turn on Talking Newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which Talking Newspaper you want to listen to. Reply simply by saying, "East Devon Talking Newspaper." You can also access recordings via our website, www.eastdevontalkingnewspaper.co.uk. Simply click on the tab Latest News. The website has a text-to-speech function. There is also a national Talking Newspaper app available for smartphones and iPads Simply download the Talkin newspaper from the App Store, where you can access over 200 regional newspapers. You will hear from this team again on Tuesday, the 28th of May, 2024. So until then, it's goodbye from us.
Goodbye!